To focus on the very first line that we say very often in our slichos every day. We open up the slichos and we say, Misnahig b'chassidus mochel avonosama, which means that the whole premise of the tshuva, the whole premise of that which we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept our repentance, is based on the idea that He is Misnahig b'chassidus, that He is so merciful, that He is so kind and compassionate to us, He's so generous, therefore He accepts our tshuva. So Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva highlights that point, and he says, when one is involved in the act of tshuva, you have to remember that it's all because of the grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all because He is so kind and benevolent that He's willing to accept it. The Talmud Yerushalmi writes what I always found to be a very fascinating comment. Shalu l'chachma chote mahu oncho. The Yerushalmi writes that Chachma was consulted, and Chachma was asked, chote mahu oncho. What is going to be the punishment for somebody who does an Avera? Answers the Yerushalmi, Amar Lahem, a pasuk in Mishlei, Chataim, Tirdof Ra. It's going to go from bad to worse, life is going to get horrible, and that's going to be the story. Shalu l'Nevuah, they went and they asked Nevuah, Chote Mahu Oncho. They asked the prophets, what exactly is going to be the punishment for somebody who does an Avera? So he says, a pasuk in Yecheskel, HaNefesh HaChotas HiTamus. Somebody who does something wrong should die. What do we need him in the world for? Finally, Shalu l'kutsha b'richu, says the Yerushalmi, finally they pose the question to God Himself, and they ask Him, Chote mahu oncho, what does a person do if they've done an avera? What should be the story? What should be the punishment? Amar Lahem, God says, what are you all getting so shaken up? Very simple answer. Yasa tshuva v'yiskaperlo. You don't kill such a person. You don't destroy their lives. Yasa tshuva v'yiskaperlo. There's an opportunity for the person to repent. There's an opportunity that I gave for them to make over their entire lives, and all you have to do is be involved in the act of tshuva, and I will accept them once again, which is an incredible gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. That is why we start off the slichos every day by saying, Misnaheg b'chassidus. That is the premise of everything that we're going to engage in throughout the Yemei HaRachamim v'Haslichos, throughout Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, is the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the generosity and the kindness that He allowed us to have such an incredible opportunity of being engaged in the act of tshuva. So the Ramchal, in the Mesilas Yesharim, in the 1700s, writes that you see the Midas HaRachamim in tshuva in three different ways. Number one, he says, Ki lefi shuras hadin. He says, in reality, Hayaroi, the truth is, it should be Shehachote Ya'anesh Miyad. The reality should be that somebody who does something wrong should be punished immediately. Take off lecheto b'li hamtana klal. It should be an instant punishment. The moment that something goes wrong, you should be struck by lightning. That should be the end of you. Says the Ramchal, that's number one. That's what should happen. Number two, he says, v'gam, shehaonesh atzmo yihya b'charonaf. When God punishes a person immediately after doing something wrong, it should be that it's taken out with anger, with fury, with rage. Imagine you come to visit a king and you act inappropriately in his presence. They don't give you a chance to repent. Immediately upon doing such a thing, they take you away in handcuffs, they throw you into jail, and that's it. There's no second chances. And number three, he says, Shalo yehei tikun lachet klal. There should be no way to rectify that which we've done wrong. Ki hinei ba'emes, the truth is, Ech yisakein ha'adam eis asher ives v'hachet kvar nasa. How is it possible for a person to compensate or to rectify that which has already been done? After all, he says, Harei, Sheratzach ha'adam eschavera. Imagine a person goes and, Rachmana litzlan, God forbid, murders somebody else. Or Harei Shanaf, somebody goes and has an inappropriate relationship with a woman that he's not allowed to be with. There's no way of taking back that activity. What was done is done, and it's too late now. And tshuva is an opportunity that we have to be engaged in a process that really is against the seichel. It's against the way we would all think. If I've done something wrong, and what's done is already done, how can I ever make up, how can I ever rectify that which has already been, unfortunately, accomplished for the negative? And says the Mesilas Yesharim, in these three ways you see, it accentuates the incredible chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He allows us to have, number one, He allows us to have time. When we do something wrong, He says, I'm not going to punish you right away. It's not going to be immediate. I'm going to give you the opportunity to try to think about what you've done. Number two, even if He does punish a person, it's not done b'chari af. It's not with fury, it's not with anger, it's not with rage. God takes His time and He allows us to be patient and to figure out how we want to deal with that which we've done wrong. And number three, even though it's so against our seichel, even though it's so against our nature to understand why tshuva should work, what's done is done already. The negative that we brought into the world has already happened. How can I abolish, how can I reverse that which has already been done? Yet says the Mesilas Yesharim, that is the incredible gift of tshuva. That is misnahig b'chassidus mochel avonos amo. So we have a Gemara Maseches Ksubas Daf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara tells us when you have a melech, when you have a king who is a monarch over a certain designated area or a certain people. So if somebody does something against that king, melech shamachal al kevodo, ein kevodo machal, says the Gemara, because the king represents something so much larger than himself. So if somebody does something disrespectful to the king can't say, oh, you know, I'm a friend of yours, it's okay, it doesn't matter. You don't have a right to be machal, you don't have a right to forgive, because you represent your entire country, the entire people that you are the one who is the monarch over. And therefore says the Gemara, melech shamachal al kevodo, if a melech is mochel, if he forgives his kavod and he allows people to treat him disrespectfully, ein kavod mochel, we're not allowed to accept such a forgiveness because he's not the balabas, he's not the one who has a right to forgive his honor, to forego his own dignity. And therefore asked the B'nai Yisachar in his beautiful Sefer, how is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever allowed to accept tshuva? After all, he is the melech, after all, he is the king over all of us, and melech shemachal al kavodo, ein kavodo machal. How could he ever forgive us if we have done something against what the king has instructed us to do? And the rule is that when the king is the one who is being hurt, he doesn't have a right to forgive because he represents something so much larger than just himself. Writes the B'nai Yisachar, this is the reason why we find, the Medrash says, there is no concept of tshuva by the Umas HaOlam. The Medrash says that tshuva is a concept that was given only to the Jewish people. There is no such concept of tshuva when it comes to the Shar Umas HaOlam. Ah, you'll ask, what about Nineveh? We read the story of Nineveh on Yom Kippur, the whole story of Yonah. Doesn't that seem to be an indication clearly that there is such a process of tshuva? So this is a question that's raised by the Mabit in the Beis Elokim, where he tries to figure out, well, there's a major difference between tshuva that's done by a non-Jew and tshuva that's done by a Jew. Maybe there are some differences, but either way, the premise of the Medrash is that tshuva is certainly not the same when it's done by a non-Jew as tshuva process that has gone through, that is experienced by a Jew who goes through the process of tshuva. And therefore, says the B'nai Yisachar, the reason why is because melech shemachal kavodo ein kavodo machal. A melech does not have a right to forgo his honor, to give over his dignity. If he's supposed to uphold something, if he's supposed to represent something larger than himself, he doesn't have a right to say that people can treat me however they want. It's not up to you to decide. And therefore, when the Umas HaOlam, who look at the Ribono Shel Olam as a melech, do something wrong to him, there is no opportunity for tshuva. However, says the B'nai Yisachar, we know that the Pasuk says, Banim Atem LaShem Elokeichem. The Pasuk says that the Jewish people are referred to as the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he says, the Gemara writes in Kiddushin, Av Shemachal Al Kavodo. Let's say you have a parent who forgives and forgoes on their own kavod. Kivodo machal, a father has a right to say, the children can treat me however they want, it's okay with me, I understand, they're just kids, it's not a problem, I forgive them. A father has a right to do that. Therefore, says the B'nai Yisachar, this is why when it comes to the Jewish people and the experience of tshuva, we have an opportunity to do so. Because we treat the Ribono Shel Olam like a father. He treats us like children. And because of that relationship that we have with him, that gives us the opportunity to engage in the act of tshuva. Now one has to wonder, when we have a relationship between parents and children, which way is the stronger love? Is the stronger love from the parent to the child? Or is the stronger love from the child to the parent? So the Kutzker famously said that there was a elderly gentleman who once came to him and he was complaining. He said, you know, I raised 10 children. I took care of them. I went to work early in the morning. I came back late at night just to provide for the kids. And now that I'm an old man, none of my children are willing to take care of me. What's wrong with these kids? How could it be that human beings who have a father, who raised them, who took care of them, who gave up his whole life for them, now they see that he needs help, they're not willing to help him? So the Kutzker said the answer is, you look in the Pasuk and you see clearly that that is the case, that is the nature. The love and the commitment of a father to his children is far more powerful than the children will ever have to their parent. How so? He says, because when we have the unfortunate story of Yosef and his brothers, so they say, Yosef tells his brothers, I'm not going to allow you to be helped until you bring down your brother Binyamin. So they say, how can we bring Binyamin? We have an old father at home. And if he finds out that we take Binyamin away from him, he's going to drop dead. If he's going to see that the young child is not here, he's going to go crazy. He's not going to be able to handle that experience. He's going to die from losing his son Binyamin. So the Kutzker asked, Why did they say, we have an elderly gentleman who's at home, who has a son by the name of Binyamin, and Nebuch, if we take him away, he's going to die. What about the fact that at the time, Binyamin had 10 children of his own? Why don't they say, Nebuch, we're going to leave him, and there are going to be 10 Yisomim. There are going to be 10 children left home alone without their father. And the answer, said the Kutzker, is because the love of a father is far more powerful toward his children than the children's love to a father. Yes, it's true, to leave 10 Yisomim at home would be a horrible thing. And it would be a horrible experience for them to have to be raised without a father. But far more of a loss is when a parent has to go and bury a child. When a parent doesn't have the opportunity to experience the lifetime of a child. When a parent doesn't have the opportunity to see the nachas of a child. Said the Kutzker, that's far worse in experience than leaving over 10 Yisomim. And he said, when it comes to the process of tshuva and we consider ourselves banim lamakom, we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He is considered to us like a father. That also means that He loves us more than we will ever love Him. Because a father's commitment to his children is far more powerful than the children's commitment to a father will ever be. And based on this, the B'nai Yisachar goes a little bit further and he says, such a powerful, such a beautiful insight. He writes, why is it? We had so many different miracles throughout the years that we were traveling in the desert. And we had the Man and the Be'er and the Anani Arkavod and so many different things that were assisting the Jewish people throughout their traveling in the desert. Why is it that we make right after Yom Kippur, we have the celebration of Chag HaSukkos, Man Simcha Seinu, we have such an exciting Yom Tov, and we only make a commemoration for one aspect of the miracle that took place in the desert. What was that? Kippa Sukkos HaShabtis B'nai Yisrael, we make for the Anani HaKavod, right? We make a remembrance for the Anani HaKavod, that God protected us, and that's why we make a Sukkah, to remind us of that great miracle. So the B'nai Yisachar asked, why is it that we don't make some sort of remembrance also for the Man, for the Be'er, for everything else? Why only for the Anani HaKavod? And he answers very creatively. He says, the Gemara writes in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Chav Beis, Ein Rochvin Al Suso Shel HaMelech. You're not allowed to use the items that are designated for the use of the king. So if the king has a chariot that only he uses, if he has a limo that only he is allowed to use, we as other members of the community don't have a right to use it. So therefore, he says, if that's true, you look at what happened in the Psukim. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hine Anochi Ba'elecha Ba'av Ha'anan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu travels in the cloud, and he comes and appears to Moshe Rabbeinu in the form of a cloud. Hashem Rochev Al-Av Kalu Ba'Mitzrayim. The Navi Yeshaya says, once again in his day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu traveled in the cloud and revealed himself to the Nevi'im. Well, if that's true, says the B'nai Yisachar, what right did we have to make use of the Anani HaKavod? What right do we have to use the chariot, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Gemara says, Ein Rochvin Al Suso Shel HaMelech. You're not allowed to use an item that is designated for the king himself. How are you allowed to use the Anani HaKavod while you were traveling in the desert? If it's something that is only for the Ribono Shel Olam himself, that's like his limousine. That's his chariot. That's what he uses. So how did Jewish people make use of it? And he says the answer is because he is our father. You wouldn't feel uncomfortable asking your father to borrow his car. That's not disrespectful. That's what a father does for his children. That's what a parent always provides for their children. And therefore, he says, that was our right to go ahead and use the Anani HaKavod, even though it was the Ribono Shel Olam's, but because we treat ourselves like children, because he treats himself like a father to us, therefore we had a right to do so. Writes the B'nai Yisachar, is there any more appropriate thing to do after the Ribono Shel Olam accepts our tshuva on Yom HaKippurim, after we've been through the process of tshuva throughout Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and throughout the whole season of Chodesh Elul, and now the premise of all that was, I accept your tshuva only because you are my children. Otherwise, a melech doesn't have a right to forgive his subordinates. He's only allowed to forgive those who are his children. The Ribono Shel Olam says, I want you to know how much I consider you my children. I'm going to allow you to use my Anani HaKavod. Our response after that experience of Yom Kippur and of Tshuva and of renewing our relationship with Him as children and as a father is we take once again the Sukkah to remind ourselves, yes, we are the Banim Lamakom, we are the children of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's where we make a remembrance only for this miracle, because at this time of year it's so appropriate. Following right off the heels of a Yom HaKippurim, off of a Tshuva season, this is the first reaction, this is the first response that we have. And I thought along the lines of what the B'nai Yisachar writes, let's close with this. If you look through the davening, you'll notice that there's no other bracha in Shemona Esrei in which we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu, if I'm not mistaken. The only one in which we say, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha. Why don't we say, why can't our Father grant us a refuah? Why can't our Father grant us a Parnassa? Why can't He grant us a Yeshua? How come we never say Avinu anywhere else? All of a sudden, it comes to the bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha, about doing tshuva. We refer to our Kadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu. And it's so obvious, once you hear this inside of the Bnei Yisachar, it's perhaps because the only way that we can ever have an opportunity to do tshuva, the only way that we can ever have the experience of being involved in tshuva at all, is if we recognize that we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't look at Him only as a melech. We look at Him as our Father. He looks at us as His children. And therefore, the introduction that we have to the bracha of tshuva, the introduction that we have to this tefillah of Hashiveinu L'Sarasecha, is we remind you that you are our Father. We remind ourselves that we are your children. And it's only because of that that we have the opportunity to do tshuva. It's only because of that that we have the opportunity for you to forgive us. Because if you were only a melech to us, we would be stuck with the old principle of melech shemachal al kevodo, ein kevodo machal. But because we look at the Ribbono Shel Olam as a father to us, because He is so much a rachaman, because He has so much generosity, He has so much kindness, so much benevolence for the Jewish people, it's all because of that that we are able to go ahead and be engaged in this great process of tshuva throughout the Yemei HaRachamim V'HaRatzon, throughout Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and ultimately on Yom HaKippurim.